employees.
Before we get into this one, I'm sure it's going to be spirited and lengthy discussion. I'd like to make that presentation if we could. That'd take about 30 seconds with the chief that we didn't get to do at the beginning of this.
Please.
Chief? Chief, seeing as how we go live in about 60 days here, we wanted to congratulate you on hiring your first staff and all. Basically, wanted to congratulate you on taking the recommendations of the police task force, going to a local company, Glock in Smyrna, Georgia, and choosing our city handguns. Glock is a symbolic first city gun, but with the 45 caliber, we have the first one at Glock delivery. We've taken delivery on several others. We know you have a career fair on Saturday, so Glock also wanted to give you some motivational stuff for the Dunwoody Police Department here, and that's the kind of recruits we want.
Right.
And the last thing they wanted to give us, if you can get another hand, or I'll hold that.
Okay.
It's a challenge coin, because I know in 60 days to go live, it is a challenge. We know you're up to it.
So thank you very much.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Let's make sure we can see the gun. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just thank the chief for checking it.
Yeah, he was checking it.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Adrian. Thank you, Chief. All right, Dunwoody discussion vote on City of Dunwoody employee benefits package. Warren?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. It is the first time I've had a gun pulled that closely to me during the council meeting. I'm glad everything went well. And thank you very much tonight for the opportunity to present to you the benefit package for the City of Dunwoody employees. As you know, this is a critical piece of our recruiting puzzle, and we've worked hard to delicately balance our responsibility to the taxpayers of Dunwoody and our need to attract and retain quality employees. As you also know, the City of Dunwoody has very few employees outside of our police department. However, the police department has 48 employees, making for a total of 53 total city employees. In a few moments, Roma Rowland, our HR director, and Chief Grogan, our chief of police, will be presenting you with the details of our health insurance, retirement, and supplemental benefits recommendations. The recommendations put forth by staff are the product of a lot of research and critical thinking. The recommendations do not represent a rich or generous package for our employees, but they do reflect what we believe to be a market competitive package, which will be a responsible long-term use of taxpayer dollars. Lastly, it is critical that I communicate to you tonight that there is a lot at stake as it relates to this benefit package. Our challenge over the coming weeks, in order to fill our police department with the quality of officers we are seeking, is to convince otherwise happy and productive people to leave good employment to come to the City of Dunwoody. Make no mistake about it, a progressive and responsible benefit package will assist our Chief Grogan in his task of hiring all his personnel and being ready to roll out the Dunwoody Police Department come April 1st. Thank you for your time and consideration. We look forward to answering your questions, and I'll present to you, Roma, to present the details of the package.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name again is Roma Rowland. I'm the Human Resources Director for the Council of Oakland City. I just want to talk to you a little bit and explain the foundation of kind of where we started in this process of how we came up with the benefits package. Some time ago, myself and Angela Redkin, who is the HR manager for Boykin International, got together. We met with different companies and different brokers in order to begin the process of who would we even use or who we even consider using to help us design this package. We made the recommendation that we work with Bryant Worden, which is a local firm who specializes actually in setting up cities. So they have the experience in setting up new municipalities. We felt that they understood the unique dynamics of what we are facing, of creating benefits, as well as they were local, and most important, they act very, very quickly. So I am appreciative to them for working with us on such tight deadlines. Since then, we had follow-up meetings with city staff, where we discussed and analyzed a variety of carriers, talked about different types of benefits and different types of plan design, and really spent a lot of time thinking about what would be really good for the employees, what would be really good for the city, what would be good for everybody overall. From a human resources perspective, when you're looking at compensation, you're looking at benefits, they go hand in hand. When you're looking at making a move, when you're looking at going after a new position, when you're looking about making a significant change to your life, benefits and salary fit together. We have a unique situation where we've been tasked to hire a police department by April 1st. We need to convince, as Warren said, we need to convince happy employees that are valued where they currently work. We need to convince them that they need to come work for the city, which is a new city. They don't know a lot about us. I think in today's day and age, people aren't as, I guess people are taking a little more time about making changes. I think people might be a little bit more reluctant. So whatever we can do to convince them that the city values its employees is very important. I think that it's important also to know that the recommendation that we are making to you is that it's competitive. We spent a lot of time analyzing the other cities around us, and we feel this is not exactly the richest, but it's not exactly the worst plan that's out there. This is something that people are going to take a look at and pay attention to. So what I'd like to do is entertain you with going through what's in your package, I guess starting with tab L1. And that's specifically the medical benefits. The staff recommends that we choose Blue Cross Blue Shield as preferred medical insurance carrier. And the reason for that is because we are looking at brand recognition. Employees are familiar with Blue Cross Blue Shield, and it's a known entity to them. In addition, we had a very unique situation where we were asking carriers to provide rates and design plans on employees that don't exist. So as you can imagine, it's a difficult process to go through because they were trying to predict how much is it going to cost when we don't even have any staff. So again, Blue Cross Blue Shield was willing to work with us on that, and we felt that that was very, very important and making that decision to recommend them. Just going through this plan, you'll see there's an HMO, a POS, and a PPO. And the reason that we decided, or we recommend, that we choose from three different plans is to give the employees more options and also give the city more options. I'm not exactly sure if you want me to go over every single line item, because it's kind of a lot. But as you'll see, this is a sample. This is based on where we think employees could fit, whether there's going to be exact amount, 5 in the HMO, 6 in the POS, we don't know. This is just a sample of what we could possibly be looking at. The other thing that the city recommends is a buyout option, where employees would have the option to, in exchange for receiving medical benefits, receive a $400 per month compensation. I think, again, the one thing that we were looking at is throughout this process, it's going to take education to inform the employees of the different plans and how that might be a best fit for their lifestyle. Are there any specific questions about what medical plans I can answer for you?
Any? Number one, you got 3 plans here. Are we going to choose one plan and we're all going with that? Or can the employees pick one of these plans?
Yes, the employees can pick either the HMO, the POS, or the PPO.
Okay. When you say Blue Cross Blue Shield, most of us are familiar with that. My question would be, since we looked at them and we currently have an insurance policy with them, GMA, the municipal, do they have an insurance, a medical insurance program?
Yes, they do. And I'll tell you the reason why we feel that Blue Cross Blue Shield is a better fit for the city is that GMA, from what I understand, from the information that I've been giving in meeting with them, is their rates are based on all municipalities. So they set the rates. What we have the opportunity with Blue Cross Blue Shield is they will set the rates based on the city, based on our specific criteria, our specific group. So we felt that it would be more advantageous to the city to be identified as a city rather than be grouped in as an entire population.
More advantageous financially wise, or which way?
Yes.
Financially wise. Okay.
the $400 per month payment versus medical insurance. As I look at this, I'm trying to get a good handle of what it costs per person. That's what, you know, over here on this page, on this other page here, you've got medical, and then you've got dental, and stuff, but we're only talking medical on this page, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so as I look down here, the employee costs, like on the first plan, $381 per month. Is that correct?
That's not the cost to the employee. That's be the cost to the city.
Correct. That's the cost that we're going to pay.
Yes.
Okay. So if they don't take that, you give them $400. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is that just the employee, or is that the employee and his family, or how does that work out?
The buyout option would be for the employee part only.
The employee.
The way the buyout program works is that the employee has the option at the onset of open enrollment to decline coverage with us, which means that we don't make pay health insurance for that person, and then we pay $400 per month directly to the employee. There's a couple scenarios, one of which we do a little bit better, and some we do a little bit worse. If you have an employee that was going to take single coverage, on the HMO, it would actually cost us $19 more a month to offer them the buyout program. If you have a situation on the HMO where they're going to take family coverage, that would cost the city $762. And then if they had a family coverage, talking $1,144. So it's a heck of a deal for the city, because instead of paying $1,144, we pay $400. Same thing as you go into the PPO program. As a single person, it's $487. We actually make $87 a month by then not participating in the program. And then on the family PPO, there's actually $1,000 a month savings for the employee. So there are going to be scenarios where you have a working spouse. And what we're trying to do is encourage them to go on their program and stay off of our health insurance program, which saves us a considerable amount of money. There are, as you pointed out, going to be scenarios, unlimited circumstance, where somebody would actually be cheaper to give them the health insurance than to pay them in cash. But the $400, we are looking at as a flat benefit, and as health insurance costs rise, eventually we look at, since it's so close, $381 to $400, that it's a worthwhile benefit on our behalf.
Tom?
Thank you, sir. Back to Rome or Warren. Since the lion's share of city employees are going to be police officers, if they decline that and they're injured on the job, does that come under workman's comp? I just don't know. Any medical, costs incurred, say from an accident or, something incurred on the job, would that cover the workman's comp, or would that cover the city insurance? So if they opt out, you don't have any liability.
And the two requirements that they'll have to join the buyout program, one is that they sign a form saying that they voluntarily submitted to this, and it wouldn't under no duress or pressure. And then secondly, they have to prove that they have health insurance coverage from another source. And that partially is kind of a big brother concept of, we don't want people to go uninsured and go to Grady and take coverage there, because they don't have any from us. We want to make sure they're on health insurance, but if it's cheaper, we'd like for them to be on somebody else's health insurance coverage.
Robert. I've worked for a lot of different companies. I've been under a lot of different benefit plans. Every time I work for a company that gets bought out, we get a new plan. So I have a reasonable amount of experience. This looks like a good plan. I mean, these choices are pretty standard choices. The deductibles are reasonable. It looks like you guys have done your homework. Looks like some good choices for good coverage. My main concern is the proposed split between the employee portion and the employer portion. And here's the issue, right? Once you set this, we're setting a precedent we're going to live with forever. It's very hard to roll back benefits, right? Once you establish that this is what we offer, if you come back in a new plan year, you could sometimes raise the cost on an employee. You know what? We're keeping the same coverage, but costs have gone up, and we're going to raise everybody a little bit. It's very hard to roll back coverage or to change the balance. So my main concern is that what we've set here is that for the PPO, let me make sure I get my figures right here, we're going to do an 80-20 split No, I'm sorry, I got that backwards. For the PP, for the HMO, we're going to pay 90% of the cost for family coverage, right? Nobody pays for their own coverage. We're going to cover everybody's individual coverage. If you take the HMO, we'll pick up 90% of the family coverage. We'll ask you to pay 10%. And if you pick one of the other two plans, then we're going to pick up 80%. And we're going to ask the employee to pick up 20%. As much as I would dearly love to give that to employees, and as much as that might help Chief Grogan attract more employees, I'm worried that that's such a high watermark that we're going to live with for a long time. I'm just not sure we can afford it. It just doesn't seem wise to me to set that as our precedent in year one. And so help me here. I'm struggling with it.
I think it's a valid question. Couple of things for consideration. One is that I did have the fortunate task at my last job of rolling back the coverage. What we found was that, because it was a 95% benefit, which was a very high benefit, and that was for any coverage that you pick. And what I think we're trying to accomplish here is to set a little bit of incentive to go on to the cheaper program, onto the HMO. The HMO it's clearly a good health insurance plan. It's just not quite as vibrant as the PPO. And obviously, if the price is actually the same, people will go to the higher price one. I think it's really just a policy choice that the council needs to make as to what is going to be that limit. One of the things we did do is went out and looked at the market and saw what other communities were offering. We know we're generally in the market. We're in the higher portion of that, I think, on the health insurance coverage side. We're certainly not the highest and best, but we're not near the bottom as well. So I think that it's really somewhat of a policy choice as to what that mix is going to be, whether it's going to be, 90% for family coverage, on the cheaper programs and 80%, or whether it's going to be an 80-70 split. And I think that the only risk reward I would advise on the council is obviously the more that you have the employees paying, the cheaper it is for the city, but you run the risk from a recruitment and retention basis that you may scare some folks off, because we don't know in some cases what they have currently. We know that if somebody's coming from a system, that has that similar benefit or higher, it's a disincentive to come to Dunwoody. If they're coming from a system where they get 60% and they can go up to 80%, well, that's great. It's going to help us convince them to come from someplace that they're happy to come to some place where hopefully they'll be happier. And those are the kind of employees that we're trying to get after. It's not folks that are a step away from being fired and need to come somewhere else, but we're trying to go after the folks that are very happy where they are. So that's what I'd advise council. I think it's a small cost when you're talking about 10% either way compared to the grander scheme of things of getting the police department staff by April 1st and making a long-term commitment that we're going to recruit and retain quality employees. But again, it's really a policy choice, and I think we're going to survive either way.
And I attended this weekend the GMA conference in downtown Atlanta, and there were municipal government officials and council people, mayors from all over the state, and they all have long faces on because they're going through very, very hard times. They're looking at cutting staff. They're looking at a lot of different things. We're fortunate enough here to be able to have a balanced budget. I heard economists talk about our economy and the turnaround potential here and the impact that's going to have on things such as foreclosures and things of that nature. We're also fortunate here that our foreclosure rate in the city of Dunwoody hasn't been that high, but I don't know how long we can forestall that situation. As a businessman, I've been involved with companies that are building up. I've been involved with companies that are having to take away because of businesses not going as well as they wanted to, and it's a lot more fun on the building up than it is on tearing down. And I would just counsel you to think real hard about starting off at the level we are here. I think that we need to be very prudent in our expenses. We need to be very smart in how we spend our money, and I think we want to get the very best. But I think Dunwoody is a situation where people may not know us, but they know the community that we live in, the kind of people who live here. And I think that we do represent a tremendous opportunity that we should be selling, particularly in this climate and market. We ought to be selling the city of Dunwoody, because we are an exceptional opportunity for anybody that wants to come to work. We've been able to recruit, and I think, an incredible staff here, and I think that's testimony to what Dunwoody has to offer. And that same thing is to offer to our police force as well. So I would encourage you to take a look at this. I'd rather add to it next year than take away from it next year.
Any other questions, comments for Ms. Warren?
Can you please explain to us how this affects the budget? Are we below? Explain to us the budgetary constraints in which we're dealing with.
Thank you, Councilman. I appreciate that question. We've provided you in your packet the benefit cost analysis in looking at what the benefits that we've put into the adopted 2009 budget versus the costs. Now, I will caution you that the cost estimates that we're using here are based on the survey sample that we used, based on the choices we think people will make. But obviously, without having the full complement of city staff, we don't know exactly which direction that is going to go in. And if you look at it just from the excluding the supplemental budgets, benefits that we've put forward, we're about $154,000 to the good before we talk about some of the different benefits that we have in the supplemental package. So from a budgetary standpoint, we are ahead of our projections.
That bothers me a little bit, because it wasn't that long ago that we passed that budget and we questioned those budget figures as for benefits as being way too high, and you said not to worry, we set those there, we're going to come in below them. Now that you're coming in below them, you're using those first numbers as a justification for, oh, not to worry, we're coming in under budget. There's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy here. And this is still, in terms of a percentage of salary, a really, not, I don't want to say really rich, because I recognize that what we do in the public sector is different from what I'm accustomed to in my 30 years. So I recognize the expectations are much different. But this strikes me as being near the top of what we could offer rather than in the middle. And the fact that we put a lot of extra money in the budget in order to make sure we came in under it seems like a hard justification for now coming in under it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'm not trying to attempt to justify
okay. The
cost base on our budget. Just the question that was asked of
okay.
us is right. coming under budget.
Okay, yeah, okay. Okay.
Dan?
Okay, one question. You alluded to the fact that we did look at PERMA. Did we actually get a quote for them on these areas here? But it seems to me that we got a group called GERMA that looks across the entire state, and that's the group, that our rate should be lower, not higher. If we went in that direction, it would be if we had a smaller group of some 60 people in a group. Help me understand that.
We weren't able to get that. We didn't have information. We weren't able to get them the information that they needed.
So was this the only quote that we got?
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question. The only quote from...
If we only got a quote from Blue Cross, or did we get some from...
Yes, we had other carriers that we considered. And the reason that we chose Blue Cross again was... They were willing to work with us on a situation where we don't have employees, so they were trying to guess what risks there are, and that's very challenging for the health insurance company. So they were willing to work with us on that. Again, brand recognition. We're trying very hard to get people to come join us, and if they're happy with Blue Cross Blue Shield, that's even more of a reason to be comfortable with us. And again, their customer service, it's been the experience that they're very good with customer service.
What kind of information did GERMA need that we're not able to provide them?
Employees.
Oh, you mean how old they are, the number, actual data?
One of the challenges that we have is that, as you'll see later, we're going to share with you a little bit of comparison from all of the new cities has not gone with GERMA. Part of the reason is that part of the challenge is the survey sample at the onset to be able to set the costs is a real challenge for them, whereas they're going privately. We were able to get some confirmed commitments on cost.
Right. And we also, just to add to that, if I may, we also found that it was, again, just benchmarking the other cities, we found that more and more cities are going with private companies and going with private insurance agencies.
I just heard a lot of sales pitches this weekend on GMA, on Gehrman, all the things that they had to offer, and I thought we should understand that.
And I think there's some, I came from a city that offered the Gehrman insurance and with the pool, and there's, when things are going well statewide in their entire pool, you get very low increases in your rates, and when experience levels are high, you know, you're dealing with the increases that everybody gets regardless of Dunwoody. You know, nobody goes to the doctor and we don't have any problems. We don't benefit from that because we're being lumped into a larger pool. On the flip side of that, if we have a high experience year and the state doesn't, we benefit. You know, so there's some risk and rewards being in a pool scenario versus being being an individual client.
I think the good news is, though, that we're hiring policemen. Policemen are going to be, theoretically, they're going to be in a lot better shape than most of us are. So we should have a force that's going to be in very, very good physical condition.
And a very sexist comment, and I'll make it, so I don't make room to make it again. We'll discuss in private.
I'm sorry.
Men don't go to the doctor, so.
Denny. You know, I'm trying to understand the figures you got here, Roman and Warren, on page 2, you know, benefit cost analysis. You know, and as I go across here, you know, I add up all the numbers here, and it comes up to the citywide budget is what the actual costs are. Is that correct?
Projected.
It's 500. What we did is from the budget that we presented to you was total benefit between medical, dental, and disability life vision was $562,200.
Well, let me get sort of the dental aspect of that line here to help you understand. If I add up the police and the court and the finance and the city clerk and yourself, I come up with $105,200 as the actual cost. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then the budget projected cost is $14,979. So as I look at that, that's a shortfall.
The budget we put in was $105,000, and what we think is the actual cost is going to be about $15,000. So it was about an $85,000 mistake to the good.
So these figures here, the $3,800 across here, and $50,000 for the police, were budget and not cost?
I had budgeted for dental $105,000, and the actual cost is going to be $15,000. So it was a large mistake on my part, but to our benefit.
And those are the kind of mistakes you want on your checkbook and your balance.
Robert, a clarification.
Right. Councilman Shortle, I don't know if you remember, but the night that we talked about the budget, somebody stood up in the audience and said, there's a problem. The amount that you've put in for dental is way out of whack with what it should be. And the to-do was to go back and check that because it looked like it was out of whack. And, in fact, we were $90,000 off on the budget in terms of what realistic dental should cost. So,
thank you, Robert.
But dental services are so important when you...
They are.
good lead-in.
They are. I understand we need to, you know, we're trying to recruit good police officers. And I hate to ask this question, but is there any way to provide a certain package to the police staff and then a different package to other city employees? Just some recognition of what our police officers are doing. These men and women put their lives on the line, and they work nights, and they work weekends, and they work holidays, and it's important to recruit good folks. But is there any way to...
Certainly, you know, it's up to the council's discretion on how you want to establish the benefit package. That would be unusual compared to how other people in our sector would offer them. Doesn't mean you can't do it just because nobody is doing it that way. What I would caution, and this is not a self-serving comment because I'm a civilian employee, but we will have, you know, just 53 employees, 48 of which will be in the police department. So you're talking a very small sector on the civilian side, so the cost differential wouldn't be significant.
Chief, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I know you're not an HR expert, but you want to talk to us just from an experience perspective?
About?
About benefits.
Well, certainly, I think benefits are very important, and when somebody's looking at changing employment, that's one of the things they look at. A lot of the calls that we've been receiving for potential applicants for police officer jobs want to know the benefits, and they want to know how much their health insurance is going to cost. And I can tell you at Marietta, they paid all employees insurance costs, and I think we were at 90% for family medical. I know that I was paying when I left, I think it was $16 a week. So $64 a month is what it costs for family medical coverage.
Okay. And can you just speak in generalities, you know, for officers? I mean, it sounds like obviously this is all of us sitting here in the in another world. I mean, it sounds like this component of it, the benefits, is a much larger piece than, at least from what I'm hearing, than what a regular employee might look at. You know, if I go look at a job, the benefits is a component, but not necessarily a gigantic component.
Well, certainly, as a government job, people traditionally, especially police officers, it's not like a private sector job where you go work here 5 years and then you step up to another better position at another company, you take your 401k with you, you go to another job. In each move, you advance yourself. In law enforcement, it really doesn't work that way unless you work there a while and you become a chief or something like that, a different position. But what happens is people get in law enforcement and make a career out of it. They may work at a couple of departments, but they'll find somewhere where they really like to work and where they have good benefits, and they'll stay and make that a career.
So, and your recruitment endeavors, it sounds like, I mean, this is ultra-critical component, sort of critical, I mean,
I think it's pretty critical. I mean, that's probably the number one question that we're getting from applicants that are calling us.
All right. About the benefits. Thank you, Chief. Yeah, thank you.
I have one more question for the Chief. Why don't make you contact Mr. Weiss at the Marcus Jewish Community Center? But we graciously offered our officers a free membership.
We will.
And there's a way to encourage them to take that, because that would save us $39,000.
Yes, thank you. Warren, they're on the vision up here. Projected cost is zero on vision insurance. I've been in a lot of insurance, and supposedly I have got the best insurance plan there is in the country. I don't have vision insurance in there either. But what is the vision insurance, and why there's no cost to it?
We recommend that the city not cover that. That the cost is so minimal, there's a package. The next set of benefits is dental, vision, and flexible spending accounts. Because the cost is so minimal, we felt that we could have the employees use that for the employees.
And just to clarify too, you've got a few elements to the vision. Obviously, if you have a medical condition that deals with eyes and ocular, that's a medical term or not, but that would be covered under the medical insurance, whereas the vision typically just contacts and glasses.
Okay. Somewhere in here, I thought I read somewhere there was a percentage of contacts and all that was in here somewhere. Did I not read that somewhere?
Yeah, it shows what the cost would be to the employee. It shows the copay. It shows the allowances for frames, and it shows the monthly rate.
Yeah, we would be organizing under our carrier the opportunity for employees to buy a vision package, but it would be 100% at their cost. I think it's shown here that $15.96 a month for family coverage for that service. And that would allow them for the lenses and contact lenses and exams and frames. So it's a benefit to the employees.
Okay.
But it's at no cost to the city.
John?
I have a concern over the pool, the size of the draw, in the sense of what they're setting the rates on. You've negotiated the rates for the first year, and I take it for granted that your hiring policies won't be taking into place the medical considerations that the employees have. But if you find that somebody's son has leukemia, somebody's wife has breast cancer, your pool of employees will be so small. Who negotiates next year and under what terms?
That is something that we would look to Brighton work to do for the city on behalf of the city.
And the city always has the option of going into the GMA pool at a later date.
absolutely.
That option's still available to us at any time.
Okay, so if the cost of GMA, then, if we had circumstances that just made it unbearable for the city, then we could always have the option to go GMA.
Right, what we would do is, when it's called open enrollment, once a year, we can take a look at the employees that we have, and we could do a census, and we can start this process all over again. We can look at all the carriers, we can look at GMA, we can look at Blue Cross, we can look at anybody we want to, and go from there.
You also are offering a $400 stipend for not joining, and you're allowing them to join under Department of Labor allowances. If it's a new baby or there's some certain circumstances. If I'm a policeman and I decide not to take your health insurance because I'm covered under my wife's, is my wife's loss of job a eligible reason to join the City of Dunwoody's
yes.
health insurance?
Yes.
It is. That's a coverage.
Yeah, we will not allow through our policy anyone to not be insured.
Okay.
Unless it's my choice.
But they're making a choice. I just wanted to make sure that there was a way that if a spouse were to lose his or her job, that our employee could then join our health insurance, or were they blocked out until the next open season?
No, they can join with the just standard 30-day waiting period.
Okay.
Dan, what is the percentage of benefit cost that we have here as a total percentage of what we're paying all of our people or projecting to pay all of our people? How much of this? Are we talking about 30, 35% of the...
Good question. Our payroll is, I believe, approximately $2.5 million citywide, and then the benefit package that we're discussing is going to be not including the supplemental benefits, we're at about $883,000, which would be divided by 2.5 million.
So about a third.
Yeah.
That seems to be pretty close to what I've seen.
Yeah, it's sitting on this.
Usually when I've seen a third, that included tax expense as well. Not just usually when you talk about marking up for you know salary plus you know non-direct compensation, usually that includes not only benefits, but you also have your budget in there for FICA and for retirement and none of that is included in this third. So
if you look at the okay. cost analysis, okay. we've included Social Security and retirement.
Oh, okay, all right. Well,
not federal, but taxes.
But not taxes, right.
Social Security and retirement.
Okay.
Okay, other questions for...
Okay. Roma's going to do a very brief presentation to you on the retirement package and then answer any questions you all may have on that because it's a little creative.
Can we come in with supplemental benefits?
Yes, that'll be the third element in the chief's going to handle that.
As Warren mentioned, we tried to really thought about a creative way to come up with a plan that's competitive and also a little unique. And we would like to recommend that the city consider, a total program which would consist of a 457 plan, a 401A plan, and a Social Security account. And I'll just explain a little bit how that works. The 457 plan is your traditional plan where the employees can defer any part of their salary into that plan. The 401A plan is a defined contribution plan where the city would make a 10% contribution. And the third is called a Social Security Deferment Plan, so 414H plan. And then basically, the city would contribute the Social Security withholding amount of 6.2% into that account. Essentially, to explain this, the city is going to be required to make that contribution regardless of the Social Security account. So we thought it would be an interesting way to create a plan where that 6.2% goes to that retirement account, thereby the total benefits to the employee is 16.2%, whereas the city's really only paying a 10%. And with this, we decided to, we thought it'd be best to not do the defined benefit plan, which some of the other cities have. But again, in doing some benchmarking, doing some looking at the other municipalities, we found that most cities are getting away from the defined benefit. They're mainly doing the defined contribution, which consists of something similar to this.
A couple of things. Number one, the 6.2% it says for 2009. What happens in 2010?
Social Security. What we're suggesting to do is to actually opt out of Social Security. Our employees would not be earning credits toward their Social Security retirement. We would be taking the money that the city would ordinarily pay and put that toward it. So whatever the Social Security payment is required of the city, which has been steady so far at 6.25%, I think, would be placed into a private retirement account as opposed to going to Uncle Sam.
And the employee would not be paying their share of the 6.2%?
Correct. So they have the option of taking that 6.25% that they ordinarily would be paying. They can either take that as cash in their paycheck, which is effectively increases their compensation, or they can use those funds and put that into their 457 plan. But it's their option as to how they want to handle that.
I would submit to you one of the things that we have to do as an employer is to kind of protect the employee and his family, her family, his and our family. It's already giving me the funny look here. But anyway, I just wonder, I've seen so many of these things go down where, i.e. the employee has had the, he could invest where or she could invest wherever the money they thought. And, 10 years down the road, the oil well went dry or whatever. And I wonder if we're being, providing the fiduciary responsibility that we have, I think, from a social standpoint to the employee's family. Because a lot of investments go south, and maybe the Social Security program goes south someday. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I just wonder if that was taken into account, because usually if you do anything, your spouse has to sign off on it. You decide not to take this or that or whatever you do, you have to sign off. They have to have it. Their signature has to be notarized, the whole bit. I just wonder if that was taken into consideration. That sounds like a good program, but in the end, if Social Security exists, and I guess we'll have to assume that maybe it will, that is a hell of a safety net for families, especially if the employee takes a hit on the way home driving the car or something like that. The families have that survivor benefit plan from Social Security, which is nothing to laugh at, especially if they have children. So
it is something that we've made a value judgment on. I think it's somewhat philosophical in some ways. What we looked at is this is a plan, I think, since the early 1970s that cities have had the opportunity to opt out of Social Security and other entities. Locally, the city of Marietta has been out of Social Security, I think, since the 70s. And then also, I want to say that City of Johns Creek, City of Milton has opted out most recently out of it. So I think it's a little bit of how you look at it from a generational standpoint. I guess the way I consider it, and this is a little bit more political than I need to get, but is I think the plan is only going to be pushed back in age by the time that folks in their 20s and 30s are eligible for Social Security. You're probably going to have to be 75 to be able to start collecting the funds, and then don't know once the baby boomer generation starts collecting it whether there's going to be anything left. So this is really, from a philosophical standpoint, an opportunity to invest into the private market. Granted, this is not the greatest time to be talking about, people are taking 40% hits right now in their retirement accounts. But I don't know that it's our responsibility, I guess in my own opinion, to handle that decision. For folks, so when dealing with forced matching programs and Social Security, I think this is a viable option, and we don't have necessarily an obligation to participate in that program.
Robert?
I know a lot of folks are opting out of Social Security, and there are a lot of people who don't have that option who'd like it. The two concerns I have with what you've proposed. One is that I'm not sure that somebody in their 20s and 30s fully appreciates the value of Medicare. It's one thing to say, I'm going to opt out of the retirement plan because I'm going to put my money aside for retirement. Are we also opting out of the portion for Medicare, or is that going to be part we continue to pay into? Okay, so that's good. I think that helps. The other thing is, I think that employers have some obligation to help employees ensure that they save for retirement. And I think it's a mistake to make their contributions voluntary. Today, one advantage of the Social Security Administration is that the employer puts in 6.2%, and the employees are required to match that with another 6.2%, so that 12% of their salary is being put away for retirement. To say we're going to take our 6.2%, we're going to put it in, and we're going to leave it up to the employee as to whether they decide to defer current income for retirement income, I think that's a problem. And I would encourage us, if we want to stay out of Social Security, I'm fine with that. But I would encourage us to set up a system that says that in order to get what we give them, they got to put in at least 6.2% of their own money. And thereby create that nest egg that's going to be big enough so that they're not later going to wish they had done something different.
We're not allowed to do that.
But, no, I think what the councilman is referring to is that we also are suggesting that we put 10% of city funds, which are discretionary, into the retirement account as the base retirement. So certainly there's an option where we would lower that contribution, dependent on them. Philosophically, I guess I'll just agree to disagree with you in that I don't think that the city has an obligation to require the employees to put their funds into the retirement program. And it's really a competitive choice on the city side whether or not we're going to put in toward the to benefit. But I certainly see your point. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, first of all, DeKalb County also and has the same sort of program where you don't pay into the Social Security system, you put your money into an account. They've been able to get a 5% interest rate for most years, and it's actually a great benefit. Is this going to be an interest-bearing account, or are they going to be able to...
It's an investment account.
It's
individual investment. Investment.
So they get to decide what type of...
Yeah, and actually, this is a good question. Some cities do it differently. Where they have a pension board that directs those funds as opposed to letting the employees self-direct. And I guess that's an option that we have that we hadn't really strongly considered. And I think all the investment accounts, and I think we're using the principal group as our, and one of the services they provide is to provide the financial advice. So they'll have a financial advisor that will be assigned to the city of Dunwoody that will meet with our employees regularly and upon request. And then they can, offer them the advice of how to, assist them in directing their investment accounts. And certainly there is, bonds that you can put money into that's much less risky than putting money into equities. And it certainly depends on, your economic and age situations to how you make those directions. But they'll certainly be offered the assistance. We're not going to leave them alone on an island.
Hi, any other questions? Yes, John.
On the Social Security match, I believe there's a maximum of about $92,000 that Social Security is paid up to. Are you going to be paying the 6.2% above this $92,000 for our high-salaried employees?
I don't know the answer to that, but we can get back with you on how that would work. As to for the city's contribution of the 6.25%, I don't know that we're obligated past the $92,000 mark, but we'll look into that and get back with you.
Correct. The Social Security only goes up that high, and that's all that you would be paying. So I'm wondering what your proposal is on above that. And other than that, I believe, if there's a professional in the room, Social Security is determined by quarters of employment. And typically, a 30-year-old would have already qualified for full retirement, 30, 35-year-old. So depending on who you're hiring, if you're hiring somebody from a typical job, they've already have their quarters in and are already eligible for Social Security and the benefits that would go along with it, unless they were all hired for a long period in a system that didn't have Social Security.
That is correct. And just speaking from my own personal circumstances, I did have enough quarters at my age to qualify. But I think the benefit that you get at retirement is obviously lessened considerably if you're not participating in the system and your income level at the time that you quit participating. So it's there's certainly a negative in that if you're interested in getting a large Social Security benefit at the end of your career, opting out is not exactly not going to help you. But certainly, if you have enough credits, you'll still be eligible.
Danny.
As perhaps one of the people on the council here that is actually on Social Security, given an opportunity at some earlier stage in my career not to invest in my Social Security, I think it would have been a very, very good decision. My return is not very strong.
It'll be stronger than mine, I guarantee you.
Any other questions for Warren?
Yes. Is there any matching requirement in here at all?
No. So the 457 plan deferred, that's just like a 401k as I understand it. And that's just the municipal type of deal, supplemental.
Employee can put up to whatever the IRS limit on your own contributions into the plan is. The city's contribution would be steady.
The 10%, we're going to contribute 10%, is that correct?
That is correct.
And that is going to be self-directed, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Where does that 10%, the big plan out there in the sky, where does that figure out into the cities around us?
Certainly, we've got some of those figures on a comparative basis.
There's a separate attachment. It's a three-page document that you received today. It's the very last page.
Is that on the website?
Here it is.
No, this is not on the website.
The cities that are included in this comparison are Sandy Springs, Alpharetta, Wildfield, Woodstock, and Jones Creek. And three out of the six offer the 401 contribution versus two of the other ones offer the defined benefit, or three of them. So the retirement plan, the pension plan, traditional pension plan is not included. It's 10%, 12%, 12%, and then 5% match. So the way for Johns Creek is one I'm most familiar with. What they've done is that the city puts up 12% of your gross, and then you can match that with 5%, up to 5%, and then the city will match you dollar for dollar on what you contribute. So in the worst case scenario for the employer, it's 17% contribution versus the 10% contribution we're suggesting for Dunwoody. Best case scenario for the employer in Johns Creek, if the employee doesn't put in any funds, it's a 12% comparable.
And Johns Creek puts in the 6.2% Social Security also for them?
They just contribute with the Social Security program.
So
the employee doesn't get that 6.25% in their own individual account. It goes to the masses.
Is there such a thing as a 457 or a 401? Well, I know there is a 401k Roth. It has the same benefits of an IRA Roth. It's post-tax dollars, but you never have to take it out. You can give it to your heirs and all those other things, which none of you have to worry about right now, but when you get to my age, you start filling out those fancy paperwork, big W-I-L-L on the top. And I think that's one of the things, I don't know, that we might want to think about, because I can tell you, you give me those two options, I'll go with a 401k Roth any day.
I don't know is the short answer to it. We can look into that and get back with you as to whether or not principal offers that as an alternative. I know that Roths are income restricted, but I'm not licensed to give you advice.
We won't have a problem with that too much. But it's a very good program as far as, it's only the last two or three years it was passed by Congress. Because I had it the last 2 years now.
All right, any other questions?
Okay. Chief Grogan's going to present to you the supplemental benefit as a as an additional option to what the base benefit plan. Thank you all for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you very much.